All right, it is time for Fast Track, and it is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around, not being used? Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota, the house of yes. All right, John, one side of the coin. Let's just do it. I stand with the Jazz. One side of the coin, the Jazz win tonight. Other side of the coin, the other team wins. Call it.
I think Utah wins. Heads.
Yeah, heads it is.
Heads.
All right, mates, I will defer. No advantage comes with that, as you know.
All right, this will shock you and come as a surprise to everybody, but I had a weak moment last night, and I ordered donuts from DK's in Santa Monica.
That is shocking. You're right.
So, John, I love donuts.
You will not even give donuts to a homeless guy. You love them so much.
Correct. Rank order your three favorite donuts.
All right, the best donut of all time, and this is really not a debate. If you come back at me, I just think you don't understand donuts, is a chocolate eclair, a long donut with the chocolate on top filled with custard.
With the yellow cream. See, yes. I don't like the yellow cream.
Yellow or white, doesn't matter. Just fill the thing with custard, put the chocolate on top. Best donut created ever of all time. Now, Mace, I am a student of donuts because I went to UCLA, and there used to be a place in Westwood called Stan's Donuts.
Of course.
The pandemic finally took it down. It was open for like 60 years. But Stan's used to make these apple fritters that were unbelievable. So that would be number two. And then three, and this is something that I kind of had to be convinced of, but I do think that Krispy Kreme hot donuts, right, you know, the glazed donuts right out of the oven are pretty damn spectacular. So that would be my three. How about you?
Well, my number one is also a cream-filled donut, but it is a Bavarian cream. I like the white cream.
Yeah, that's fine.
Instead of the yellow
cream. Yeah, we're going for the same thing there.
I love a good cruller. Do you know
crullers? Kind of boring. Yeah, I don't know what cruller is.
And then the most underrated donut of all time is the old-fashioned. I love a good old-fashioned.
Wait a minute. That's just a cake donut with nothing on it?
Cake donut covered with glaze and stuff on top. Okay. It's so friggin' good. Those are the three. Jorge, what are we missing?
Oh, man, I like the chocolate bar.
Chocolate bar, yeah.
Well, the chocolate bar is the eclair without the filling. You got to put the filling in, Jorge. You're not getting the bang for your buck.
All right, I'll take it with the filling.
Just what about a maple bar?
No, overrated.
No, what?
Ew, maple's nasty.
No, maple bar is good.
What are you talking about?
Down with maple. Out.
I'm a big
and then
maple
just that
guy.
Regular plain donut with a little chocolate and like peanuts on top of it. Oh, that's
Well, cake donuts are underrated. I'd rather have a cake donut than like some fancy thing. But
me too. Lens, what are we missing?
I would go chocolate eclair with custard, not the puffy, poofy.
Not the Bavarian cream, right?
Correct. And then plain cake donut, and then strawberry frosting sprinkles, like the pink frosting.
That's a little poofy.
Yeah.
No. It's just a glazed donut with frosting, but the frosting has to be the strawberry.
You're getting
kind.
Into strawberry.
Let me tell you how bad it was
when
I was
a girly donut.
When I was my absolute worst. We were ordering Bavarian cream donuts, which are the white puffy ones filled with white cream. And we were getting a side of cream, and they would send a little container of just the cream.
Disgusting. I just want you to take a bag of sugar and pour it down your throat. That would be no wonder you can't get your weight under 200.
You could dip the donut into the side cream. It was perfect.
So nasty.
Are you one of those guys that takes a container and like scrapes it with a donut?
You are going to turn into fat bastard from the Austin Powers movies.
All right, it's to you.
All right, in his Football Morning in America column this week, Peter King makes the case that Rams lineman Aaron Donald will go down as the best defensive lineman ever. Wow. Here's King's argument. In 2019, the NFL released its 100-year all-time team. There were seven defensive tackles on it. Joe Green, Randy White, Buck Buchanan, Bob Lilly, Alan Page, Merlin Olsen, and John Randall. Only White and Lilly were named All-Pro more than Donald. They were named seven times. Donald already has six All-Pro seasons, and he's only 30. King points out that if Donald is named All-Pro twice more in his career, he'll be the most honored defensive tackle in NFL history, and he'll have done it against the most competition in a 32-team league against a lot of all-time greats. By the way, Donald has earned Pro Football Focus's top-rated defensive interior grade for six straight years. Here's my question. Do we appreciate Aaron Donald as a star in this town as much as we should?
You know, I think we developed a deeper appreciation for him during the playoffs this last year when we went to Green Bay and Aaron Donald was not himself.
He couldn't play. He couldn't stay on the field. Right.
And we saw what the Rams' defense, which was the best defense in football all year long, we saw what they were like without a healthy Aaron Donald. And I don't think from this point forward we can overstate the importance of him. We have to understand what a big deal he is and what an impact he has on
the Jorge, team. Honest answer to this question. If Aaron Donald walked into the studio right now, would you know who he was?
Yeah, I would.
Mace, do you think that's the case with most people?
I don't think most people.
I mean, he's a freakish physical specimen.
He is. You'd know he was an athlete, right? You'd know he was an athlete. Would he be recognized? I think guys.
Could he walk through LA live without being noticed? I think he could.
I think he probably could. But yeah. And honestly, I think most guys that wear helmets, aside from quarterbacks, could not be recognized. Like, do you think leading rusher in the league, Derrick Henry, you think he's recognized a lot?
I would. I'd recognize Derrick Henry, but yeah, it's
the average person.
It's a fair point.
Yes, I think most people would recognize a football player for sure.
But would they know who it was? Would if Aaron Donald walked through LA Live, would fans say? Would people say, "Hey, there's Aaron Donald"?
I would say the average sports fan would. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I just think we got to show this guy some more love. We're looking at maybe the greatest ever at his position, and he plays in our town, and he's only 30.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
pretty amazing. All right, it's to you.
All right, here's my Peter King question. The Aaron Rodgers drama stretching on and on, but Peter King has an idea about how to deal with it. He says this: the Packers commit to trade Rodgers, pacifying the angry quarterback, but the deal would not happen till next spring. Rodgers, in turn, agrees to give the Packers one more season in exchange for being allowed to transition to a new team before the 2022 draft. What do you think?
It's a flawed theory for a couple of reasons.
Okay.
Rodgers wants out now. He has no interest in negotiating or appeasing Green Bay. He just doesn't. He doesn't want to set foot in that place again. He hates him. So you're ignoring that part of it. Now, Peter, I'm sure if he were here, would say yes, but he gets $35 million, and he knows at least that he's out at the end of the year. I think the other thing that makes it kind of weird is that if Rodgers just sticks to his guns,
right,
he doesn't come in, doesn't it force the Packers to give him what he wants sooner? I don't think the Packers can afford to play chicken with a $35 million quarterback. I think they have to trade him. So I guess this is a long way of saying Rodgers doesn't need to take your compromise deal. He can get what he wants by doing exactly what he's doing, can he?
Right. No, the Packers don't have to deal him, and I don't think they will. I don't.
So what happens if he doesn't come in?
Then I guess you go with the Love kid.
Right. And then Aaron Rodgers walks at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers will play for the Green Bay Packers this year. I don't think that there is – so far, the Packers aren't even answering the phone when people call. And most teams have already got their quarterback plan. They've already gone to great lengths to get their quarterback plan set up for this coming year. So aside from Denver, which is, I think, like the one really open spot, and obviously anybody would jump at Rodgers, but I just don't think they're going to move him. I don't think they're going to trade him, despite the fact, by the way, that Bryce Love is apparently throwing really, really well.
Are you talking about Jordan Love?
Jordan Love. I'm sorry. Yeah. Jordan Love. Who's Bryce? Bryce Love was a running back for Stanford, I think. Jordan Love has been throwing the ball all over the yard and has looked really, really good during OTAs. But I do not think that Aaron Rodgers is going to wind up traded. I think he's going to be a Green Bay Packer.
I think they're going to trade him. I don't know if it'll be before the start of the season, but at some point. I saw Carson Palmer do this when he got traded to the Raiders.
Yeah.
He just said, I'm out of Cincinnati. I don't want to play there anymore. The Bengals said, we will not trade you. We don't have to trade you. And 3-4 weeks into the season, they traded him to the Raiders. It'll happen. They'll trade Rodgers.
He'll be there. It's too big
of a cloud over his head.
Yeah. I thought that Jordan Love, like, people were freaking out because he does not look good at camp.
He's only had 2 days of OTAs. He looked terrible on the first day and very good on the second day.
Very good day two.
So and today is day three, I think.
All right, it's to me.
Fast track.
No, it's to you, actually.
Yeah,
that was my question.
Okay, we talked yesterday about Logan Paul, who made millions on Sunday fighting Floyd Mayweather. This, as Stephen Douglas from The Big Lead points out, is despite the fact that Logan Paul has never actually won a fight. Here's what Douglas wrote. Tell me if you agree with it.
Okay.
Quote, Logan Paul legitimized himself with this fight. He's no longer a YouTuber messing around with celebrity boxing. He took a friendly beating from Mayweather and stayed upright for 8 full rounds. It's safe to say no one got out of the long line waiting for a shot at Paul. He, like Mayweather, gets to pick whatever fight he wants now. He gets to choose the perfect balance between famous and legitimate. It doesn't matter where the opponent falls on the matrix to his fans. End quote. If this is true, Mace, first of all, tell me if you think it is. Who should Logan Paul fight next?
Well, it did $50 million in pay-per-view.
Right. And keep in mind, he's never, ever won a fight.
Yeah, I guess he's, you know, the carnival barker. I guess people will show up to see Logan Paul fight. I guess they'll show up to see Jake Paul fight. I think it's all a sham. I mean, the only reason he was still standing at the end of the fight was because of the mercy of Floyd Mayweather.
Right, Floyd held him up.
Held him up at one point.
All right, so he's over 200 pounds, Logan Paul.
Yep.
Would you pay to watch Logan Paul fight 56-year-old Mike Tyson?
Yes, everybody would.
Yeah, I think everybody. I would pay to see Tyson, period.
Yeah, I think even though he's 56.
Yeah, even though he's 56, I still love Tyson.
He didn't look 56 in that exhibition with Roy Jones Jr.
I think that, well, first you've got the Tyson Holyfield thing coming up, but maybe that's the next one. Like Lindsay says, everybody would probably pay for it, and Logan Paul could get beat up again, lose to Mike Tyson, and make another $50 million.
Well, and I think boxing fans, like pure boxing fans, are not into this Logan Jake Paul thing, the celebrity boxing thing, or are they?
But Lindsay just said she'd pay for it. Yeah, I didn't pay for the last one, but Lindsay just said...
Yeah, I paid for it.
Lindsay just said she'd pay for the next one.
Yeah, but I wouldn't pay for it. I didn't watch it. It's just not in my interest.
But, Jorge, would you pay for Mike Tyson, Logan Paul?
No, I wouldn't. Nuh-uh.
Are you going to pay for Mike Tyson Holyfield?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
You know who will pay for all these fights?
Michael Thompson.
Yeah.
Michael will admit he'll pay it.
Yeah.
I think that Mike Tyson is just such a spectacle that most people would, whether they're a boxing fan or not. He's like, you know, he's kind of like a mythical creature, I feel like, to younger people, that they'd be like, oh, wow, that'd be great to see him fight again.
All right, there you have it. There is your fast track for today. Coming up next, did you hear what Michael Wilbon said about the entire gooping up of the baseball spin rate, all the stuff that we've been talking about this week?
No.
We've got that coming up next for you. Plus, what is your most irrational fear? That's also coming up. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, so we've talked a lot about...
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This, and I've heard from people who say you got to explain it a little bit more deeply. So there are substances now that Major League Baseball pitchers are using that are sticky, that are tacky, that feel really like glue almost, that they're using to increase the spin rate of their pitches. So in revolutions per minute, the spin rate has gone up, and that is being traced to illegal goop being used by pitchers. Now, Michael Wilbon, our friend from Pardon the Interruption, was on yesterday. Listen to what he said about the goop and the baseballs.
I don't give a damn if Cole's spin rate is down. I don't care. You know, I don't care about
whether people threw spitters. I lived in the era. I played Little League Baseball. I tried to get people to teach me how to put stuff on the baseball, how to carve it up. I did all that stuff. Little League, high school, yes, I did it. And I think a lot of pitchers did it. And I don't think that Cole should be somehow singled out. He's the guy. And hundreds of pitchers have done this in a 140-year history of Major League Baseball. And so I find it a little disingenuous that any one guy should take the fall. I'm hoping he gets away with it. Major League Baseball has gotten so pious, so high and mighty. I loathe this. They know what's happened in that sport for a century plus. And live with it. And I like the 2-1 games better than I like the 10-8 games anyway. So now I hope everybody cheats.
That's a weird take.
Well, I think what it's based in is it's been going on for a really long time, and they've never done anything to stop it.
It's funny. It's like sign stealing. It's gone too far.
Right. And so now they've got to get a handle on it. And so from this point forward, I think they're going to disallow it.
But when do they start cracking down?
I think it's next week.
Wow.
I mean, I heard.
I wonder if it'll affect Trevor Bauer's start on Saturday.
I've heard an interview with Jeff Passan, and he says that baseball, he said if you talk to any baseball person that works for a team that covers the sport, they'll tell you that the game is broken. That, you know, you tend to defend baseball all the time, and he said even the people that work for teams now won't defend it. He said there are more strikeouts than anything else. There's no action in the games. The game, baseball is broken. It is a bad product right now.
It is not. I don't disagree with that. I mean, that's why we talk a lot about what needs to be fixed. And what was the thing that I said 2 weeks ago? I said one thing they need to do is crack down on pitchers using illegal substances. That's one of the reasons why offensive production is so low right now. We want more action. It can't be a zero-sum game, strikeout or home run. It can't be like that anymore. They've got to move runners along. They've got to string together hits. And one way to do that is to crack down on what pitchers are using. Pitchers have too much of an advantage right now, in the same way that hitters had too much of an advantage during the steroid era. And so what Michael Wilbon is knowing, they've done it for a long time, all that stuff, but it's tilted the wrong direction. It's now tilted more towards pitchers than it is towards hitters. That's why guys hitting 240 are viewed as successful right now.
Right. I would challenge Wilbon, if he were here, to say this. Mike, so your solution to fixing baseball's problems is to do nothing. Just let everybody keep doing what they're doing. You can't. That's the worst possible thing they could do is nothing. The game is broken. I read that stat that Theo Epstein came up with the other day, that the average time between hits is like 4 minutes, to 6 minutes. That there's no player movement. Nobody wants to see strikeout.
Home run.
It's not fun to sit there and watch that. So they've got to put action back in the game. I don't blame them for what they're doing. I know some pitchers are going to get embarrassed. But let's go. Let's get this stuff out of the game, give the hitters a chance, and go from there.
What should the deterrent be? In other words, what should the penalty be if somebody gets caught?
I think immediate ejection.
Yep.
And then I think a 10-game suspension.
10 games, so miss because two starts.
If you're a pitcher, you'd miss two starts, right.
If
you're a second-time offender, you get 25. And if you do it a third time, you're out for the year.
Wow. That's like a steroid crackdown.
Nah, steroids is like 50, 100, banned for life. This would be 10, 25 out for the year.
By the way, last night, as somebody points out, Amazon sells Spider Tack. They do sell Spider Tack. So it doesn't need to come from some special supplier. You can just order Spider Tack from Amazon.
I don't know how far down the rabbit hole you want to go here, but there was an Angels clubhouse guy.
Yeah.
That used to concoct. He was kind of like a part-time chemist.
Yeah, he made his own junk.
He made his own goop, and he would make it for pitchers around the league, and they would reach out to him and say, hey, can you make me some more goop? And when they'd come through Anaheim, he'd give them a bottle of it or a bag of it or however you house it. And he was fired by the Angels for doing this, yet every team was asking this guy for stuff, and after he got fired, they were still asking him.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, that's where the Gerrit Cole thing comes from. He was one of the guys that was getting stuff from the Angels clubhouse guy. So was Justin Verlander. They were getting stuff from the Angels clubhouse guy who was inventing this magic sticky goop that was being used on baseballs with great success. And Trevor Bauer originally came out and said, hey, it's really weird that people go to the Astros and all of a sudden their spin rate goes way up. And as it turns out, they had the proprietary goop.
Right.
It may be now that the Dodgers have caught up, but the everybody's doing it argument, unlike what my mom used to tell me all the time, the everybody's doing it argument is actually a good one. If they're not cracking down, then they're continuing this problem. And you're right, John, the game, I won't say it's broken. I still watch an awful lot of baseball, but I'm a baseball fan. But it is less appealing to casual fans than, for example, the NBA is to casual fans and the NFL is to casual fans. Baseball fans are always going to be baseball fans, and I'm one of those. But people like you who are more it's weird. I'm with the Lakers the way you're with the Dodgers.
Right, I'll always stop and watch a Dodger game, but outside of a Dodger game, I'm not watching a lot of baseball.
Right, and I will always watch baseball. I have no issue with it, but don't always watch the NBA now that the Lakers are out of it. I'm more of a Lakers fan than I am an NBA fan. I'm as much a baseball fan as I am a Dodgers fan, so baseball rides all the time here on MLB League Pass, so I've always got games on. But it depends on who you are. But if you want to attract casual fans, and let's face it, that's the most important thing, is to get fans who don't always pay attention. How do you grab their attention? How do you sell the sport? What are you selling? It's if there's a problem with the product, and there is right now, it's much harder to sell it. It's much harder to get just a casual fan to turn on a game if it's just strikeout, 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 home run, strikeout, strikeout, strikeout.
By the way, this is a kind of a tangent on what you were talking about. Did you see what Shohei Ohtani's stats project out to for the rest of the year?
No, I did not.
Supposedly, he keeps going on the pace he's going. He's going to hit 50 home runs and have an ERA a little above 3. If he does that, he wins MVP regardless of where the Angels finish, right?
Right.
I mean, that's unprecedented.
No, it's unprecedented. It's a freak of nature. It is. As long as he stays healthy and he continues at this rate, I just think we haven't seen anything like him in 100 years. So, yeah, I think he is the most valuable player because of the oddity of it, right?
Yeah.
And because he's having a really good year.
Nobody else can do what he does.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to win anything again this year. I think they're a couple of games under 500 and 6 games out of first in the West right now. So they're not going to win anything. But Shohei Ohtani, without question, that is a crazy set of skills he's got. A crazy set of skills. All right, I want to play one more thing for you. Actually, let's do this. We talked last hour about Dennis Schroeder, who is kind of a lightning rod for controversy amongst Lakers fans. He had a pretty good year. At some point, maybe back in February, turned down what was reported to be an $84 million extension. And then in game 5, he disappeared in our playoff series in the first round against Phoenix, including an 0-for-9 shot in game 5 of that series. So you suggested, and he's a restricted free agent, I'll suggest, would you rather have Lonzo Ball or Dennis Schroeder? Would you rather have Lonzo Ball or Dennis Schroeder? Now, John, I don't think that's a question you can necessarily answer.
Well, Lonzo's a restricted free agent. So I can pose the question. I don't think it's Schroeder was better than Lonzo during the regular season, but Lonzo might have more upside. He's younger.
He is younger. And Schroeder,
I think it's a debate. I don't think it's like an obvious answer either way.
No, I don't either. 877-710-ESPN. Because Lonzo himself is a divisive figure. Right? Some fans love Lonzo and say, hey, we see he's Jason Kidd, he's developing, and other people say, yeah, he was a bust. He was just a bust. I think the answer is somewhere in the middle, by the way. I don't think he's a bust, and I don't think he's Jason Kidd.
He is definitely not Jason Kidd.
Which is the comp, right?
Right.
And last year, just for record's sake, he scored 15 points a game, with 5 rebounds and 6 assists. So 15-5-6 with a steal and a half a game. Three-point shooting, 38%. So you can live with 38%.
That's a career high for him, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's a fair debate which guy you would rather have.
I don't know if you can get Lonzo, though. If you make an offer to Lonzo, then the Hornets or the Pelicans just match it.
If they choose to.
Yeah, then you're right back to square one.
Right. As you pointed out, they've got two other guards that they really like a lot.
Yeah,
so
they're cross-controlled. They're both
may
on
not match.
Deals. Yeah.
877-710-ESPN. We'll get some calls on that. Plus, coming up for you at 2:45 is Radio Tinder, about 20 minutes from right now. Make sure you're here for that. Mason in Ireland, 710.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
ESPN. Wow, we're going back to the 80s on that one, huh? Isn't that Duran?
Yep.
Yes, it is. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. What are you guys doing? It is Thursday. Threw this out there because I've got friends who are Laker fans who are just like, let's sail on Dennis Schroeder. We don't like the way he played in the postseason. We don't like the fact that he wound up ending up in protocols.
Okay. Now, this plan you've come up with, though, this hypothetical.
Yeah.
In order to do it, you know, you would have to move salary. You couldn't just sign one because Schroeder's your own free agent. You can go
right over
the cap to sign him. If you signed Alonzo, you'd probably have to move other people to make room for him. So who are you willing to move?
KCP.
Really?
Yep.
See, because I think he's your starting two guard. Why are you down on him?
Well, he didn't shoot well.
Right, but in the finals,
in the postseason,
when you won,
well,
the title, he shot the lights out.
Yeah, he did. You're right. You're right.
He was hurt this year in the playoffs.
I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, my opinion of this team is tick, tick, boom.
Yeah. You may get it. You may get what you want.
Yeah, I mean, I can live without Montrezl Harrell if he doesn't pick up his option.
Yeah, that's not up to them.
Yeah, that's his call. Kuzma was terrible in the postseason. Good in the regular season. That's a $13 million number. Tick, tick, boom. Tick, tick, boom. All right, let's hit the phones here. Let's go to Devin in L.A. Devin, you're on 710 ESPN. What are you doing, man?
Hey, I'm just enjoying a little bit of my peace pipe and enjoying
nice.
Mason in Ireland, baby.
That a boy. So, where are you at on Schroeder?
Oh, man. So, I just want to say, not to toot my own horn, I called a couple months back, and Mason basically shunned me on the air because I said to him when he was high on Schroeder, I said, Mace, my problem with Dennis Schroeder is his inconsistency. And he is so inconsistent to me. And what you saw in the playoffs, what we saw, it was a game five. Of course, Schroeder played hard and was diving on the floor everywhere because he didn't sign $85 million when he should have took that money and stole that money. Based on himself for $100 million, he's not a $100 million guard. So out of the two, I definitely would take Lonzo because the ceiling is higher. Lonzo Ball has improved something, his shooting. You remember we drafted him, his shooting, he was not a shooter.
Yep.
So he's improving, and I think his ceiling is higher than Schroeder.
Okay. Thank you very much for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, you know, their numbers are surprisingly similar. Schroeder's also 15 points a game, also 6 assists a game, a few less rebounds, got the same number of steals, but he only shoots 33% from three.
Right.
And he's a career 33% three-point shooter.
And Lonzo,
has made a leap.
Now, by the way, there wouldn't be any issue with bringing him back, right?
To me, there isn't. What do you suspect the issue could be?
No, I don't think there would be one.
Some fans just did not like Lonzo.
Who?
You've heard people say Lonzo's a bust.
I don't know if I buy that.
I mean, I don't believe it, but a lot of people think Lonzo's a bust. Let's go to Reggie in L.A. Reggie, you're on 710 ESPN. What are you doing, man?
All right, first of all, Lonzo's not a bust. People didn't like Lonzo because of the stuff with his pops, all right? But Lonzo reminds me of one of my favorite players, the kind that stays in his capabilities. Shooter's the opposite. You never know what you're going to get out of.
Right, but Lonzo would be complicated. You can do it. It's not an impossibility. A lot of people thought the Pelicans were going to trade him, but they didn't.
And there's a lot of noise about Chicago being interested in Lonzo.
Yeah, and Zion is coming up, so they're going to have to pay him a bunch of money. I think that they could bring him back. I don't think there was any bad blood. I mean, you get LeVar, which some people wouldn't be crazy about, but I don't think LeVar is a deal breaker, Mace.
No, not at all for me. Not at all for me. In fact, it gives us an excuse to bring LeVar back on the show. He was great last time. All right, more calls coming up, 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Wait, why? Why? It's too early.
Mace, we got like 5 minutes.
Yeah, we got like 5 minutes.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, what are you doing? Are you looking at the clock?
I forgot my little sheet. I thought we were late for a break.
Yeah, but your little sheet, there still should be a clock somewhere in your
and by the way, next is Radio Tinder. You didn't even tease Radio Tinder.
Yeah, I thought we had another segment in there. Tick, tick, boom.
What we should do is go tick, tick, boom.
We were talking for literally like 2 minutes.
To this segment.
Yeah. I got a little forgetful there. Let's go to Victor in Rosemead. Victor, you're on 710 ESPN. Hey, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. So I'm not as upset about Schroeder as most people, but I would definitely only accept Schroeder over Lonzo next season if he accepts a lesser role. You know, if he goes back to that bench role and takes less money, then I'm going with Schroeder. But if that's not the case, if we're looking for a starter, I'm going with Lonzo.
All right. Thanks very much for the phone call. By the way, you know, he was guaranteed the starting job when he came here. That was one of the things that was promised. And this, he came here for an opportunity to start.
And during the regular season, he was good. He kind of lived up to what they promised him.
Yeah, 15.6 assists. Didn't shoot well from three. But
on a team with Anthony Davis and LeBron, 15-6 is good.
He just didn't deliver when it mattered.
Right. Okay, well, let me just ask you this point blank.
Okay.
Does the COVID thing, the fact that he didn't get vaccinated, play into this decision? You could argue it shouldn't, but does it?
Yes, it does. Les, who are you kidding? Yes, it does.
It does. It does. Yeah, it does for me. I mean, you know, sometimes, and this is one of the things, I mean, yesterday, I guess Sam Darnold came out and we heard his comments about it.
Right.
You know, there's the potential of letting down your team and letting down your teammates.
You know, Bruce Arians talked about this today. And, and he was like the coach of the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers. And he's like, look, you want to play for me, the smartest thing you can do is get vaccinated. Then I know you're keeping everybody safe. I mean, he came right out and said it.
Yeah, it can't be mandated. You can't say get the vaccine no matter what. But Bruce Arians definitely did intimate, hey, he wants his players to have the vaccine. And yes, it does play into my mind that Schroeder missed time and potentially did not get that vaccine. And that's why we were in that boat at the end of the season.
All right. So here's what Arians said. You know, Ron Rivera brought in a Harvard immunologist to speak to his players, to explain to them why you should get vaccinated. So Arians was asked if he's going to bring in a specialist. And Arians said, I'm the specialist. I told him if they want to go back to normal, get vaccinated. Arians said the Bucks are holding a vaccine drive for players and their families at the facility. He went on to say, quote, there's going to be a long line over there right now. We're pretty short up until now. Hopefully we'll get a pretty good line going. Previous vaccine drives have also taken place at the facility for coaches, support staff. The goal is to have 85% of the team vaccinated. And Arians feels they'll be much closer after the drive. He says, quote, everybody's tired of meeting out here and eating outside and doing all those things we had to do last year. It's still a personal choice, but I don't see a reason not to be vaccinated. So I think he's saying what a lot of people are thinking.
I think there's no question about that. And I know, and I said this yesterday, and I do believe it's now an issue of personal responsibility. That's what it, I mean, you decide for yourself. But you have the potential, if you don't get the vaccine, to let the people around you down, especially if you're part of a team and you're important to that team. The last thing you want is to lose a quarterback during a key week or to lose a running back or an offensive lineman or whatever that is. I think striving to get the team as vaccinated as possible is the smart thing to do. But if I'm telling the truth, the COVID thing is one of the reasons why I question Dennis Schroeder.
Well, and obviously the part of this is going to be what else is available. For example, right. let's say they do have an interest in Lonzo, and the Pelicans just come out and say he's a restricted free agent, we're matching any offer. Well, that's it. He's off the table. So now you're looking at Schroeder or who? You know, you've got to compare him to the next guy. There's a chance he's still going to be your best option when all the chips fall. You know, you just got to see how they fall and when. It's easy to say that you're not high on him and you're mad he didn't get vaccinated and you're mad about the 0-for game in the playoffs. But having said all that and agreeing with all of it doesn't mean they won't bring him back because he might still be their best option.
Right. Well, they may be stuck. They may be stuck with Schroeder because, again, they've got two big salaries on the books and there is a salary cap and you're only allowed to go over it to sign your own players. And Schroeder is your own player. Caruso is your own player. THT is your own player. Those are the guys that you would expect are going to have a lot of interest on the open market, and you're able to pay more if it's your own player. So that we may be stuck with Dennis Schroeder.
Again, I don't know if that's the worst thing in the world. He played good. He just needs to play like he did in the playoffs, like how he did in the regular season in the playoffs.
They need shot makers. I mean, they didn't make any shots.
True.
And Schroeder's not a shot maker.
Well, I mean, remember, they could always – now, this is where I can't mention specific names.
Yeah, yeah.
You can if you want. They could trade some of the people they have on their roster to go get shooters.
Yeah, they could. I mean, they've got KCP, who is already a good shooter. I think he's their best shooter. But Kuzma, maybe. Maybe it's a cost-controlled contract, $13 million next year. That would be a guy that you could trade.
All depends on who's out there and what's available. But I think they're going to explore everything.
All right. Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. I think I'm breaking at the right time. Am I breaking at the right time now?
Much better.
Yeah, all right. This is better.
Radio Tinder coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right. Here we go. It is Radio Tinder time. Linz, what do you got for us?
All right, guys. So with capacity limits and most mask restrictions lifted in Las Vegas, that also means it's the grand return of buffets. Many casinos have reopened their self-serve buffets or are at least planning to in the next week or two. Vegas buffets in particular are known for everything from made-to-order omelets to fresh pasta, seafood and barbecued ribs to cookies, Mace's favorite, donuts.
Donuts!
And cheesecake. But, you know, they tend to be a little bit on the pricey side. Are you a fan of the casino-style all-you-can-eat buffets? Swipe left or swipe right?
Hell yeah. Who doesn't love a good buffet? I thought buffets, Mace, were gone when COVID hit.
Me too.
We'd never see them back. The fact that they have somehow come back, I'm all for it.
Yeah, the CDC says they cleared buffets. They're going to be on cruise ships. They're going to be in Vegas. You know,
they're going to be Staples Center media room.
Correct. I'm not a big buffet guy, but I will tell you, as soon as the Mission Inn in Riverside restores their Sunday morning brunch, which is a buffet, I will meet mom and not stepdad Leo there for a brunch. So I'm not completely against buffets, but I'm not a big buffet guy generally. Like in Vegas, I don't go to a buffet. I think it's actually kind of disgusting. People just eating so much. And by the way, and throwing so much food away. Vegas buffets are disgusting.
Vegas buffets are not disgusting, Lindsay.
Oh, the worst.
I oftentimes try and eat one item from each entree.
That's what everybody does. And then they throw it all away.
No, I'm all in. Bring them back.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I was listening to the morning show, Travis and Slee, this morning, and they seemed to both agree that with Mace that, you know, Vegas – because, like, the food's never good. It's always overpriced, and people just take way more than they're ever going to eat.
People haven't had the 13-inch circus buffet plate, which gives you more room to pile stuff on.
What?
I have never been to
Circus still there, Mace? Or did they get rid of that one?
It's still there.
It's still there.
Is it still there? Yeah. Circus is never a place that I've stayed.
I've never been to a Las Vegas casino, whatever, buffet. I will try one when I venture out there at some point in the next couple months. But I will say, in Marina Del Rey, right around the corner from me, has this place called Whiskey Reds. They have the best brunch buffet ever.
There you go.
They have like a chocolate
fountain.
What
do you got against Whiskey Reds, Mace?
Is it operating now?
Buffet.
I'm not sure if it is now, but it should be soon.
Yeah, I guess it will be. June the 15th. Everything's going to go back to normal.
All right, so next one. A subgroup of College Football Playoff's management committee today presented a proposal to change the current 4-team format to a 12-team event. As things currently stand, the plan would grant a bid to the 6 of the 10 conference championship winners with the highest CFP rankings. Okay. So the top 6 conference championships. And then they would be joined by 6 more teams handpicked by a CFP selection committee. I won't get into the details of the seeds and all that stuff because it's way beyond us here. But considering this proposal and then the current format, are you on board with a new format that allows 12 playoff teams in the College Football Playoff? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right. This is a great idea. Every year we argue about why Coastal Carolina didn't get a chance because they went undefeated. Now everybody gets a chance. Put them in there. Mace, I don't care if you've got the top 12 teams in the country playing a playoff over a 3 or 4 week period, nobody's not watching that.
Yeah, I have come around on this because I'm sick of Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State. I'm absolutely sick of them.
But they're all going to get in it anyway.
Yeah, but
they
got to win their way into the final rather than being picked.
The more games they play, the more likely they are to be upset.
So not necessarily, John, because the way that they have this set up is they would take the 6 top-ranked conference champions, and then they would pick 6 teams. So for whatever reason, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, if they don't get in and they don't because they don't
All be in it. They'll all be
in. They're going to get picked anyway.
Sure. Yeah, right, they're in it no matter what. The idea is
play more games to win the title instead of just 2.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
They got to play double the games.
Increases the opportunities for an upset.
And if you have a good team, you want to see them play other good teams.
So let's just say this is one of what could be a few different proposals. Would you guys be more willing to just sign on to this one right now? Yes, let's do it. Or would you rather wait, maybe if it takes a year or two, to hear what the other potential proposals would be?
No, this works for me. You can beat this thing to death. It's like replay. You could look at it from 17 different angles. This is a good plan. Let's go with it.
I am in agreement. Good plan. Let's go for it. Apparently, this will not take effect until the 2022-23 season at the earliest.
Of course, we can't do anything quick around here.
Right. And that's if they approve it right away. So if there are any other people, if it doesn't, you know, if they don't agree to it, they want to see more proposals, then you could be potentially pushing back any changes another year or even 2. So I'm with you guys. I would just vote on this one right now. And if you need to change it down the road, change it.
Yep, exactly.
All right, so next one. In 2011, Jeff Bezos, the billionaire CEO of Amazon, paid nothing in federal income taxes. Can you believe that? Year, when his net worth was valued at around $18 billion, he filed for and received a $4,000 tax credit for his children. So both in 2007 and then the year I mentioned, 2011, Bezos paid nothing in federal income taxes because he lost more money investing than he earned from other income. He made so little in 2011, according to the U.S. government's tax code, that he was able to file and receive a tax credit for $1,000 for each of his 4 children. So his net worth is largely tied to his stock, but that doesn't affect an individual's tax bracket until you sell the
Until you sell it. That is correct.
And the revenue is reported as income. So technically, this is completely legal. But considering Jeff Bezos is worth billions of dollars, literally the richest man in the world, does this change your opinion of him? Swipe left or swipe right?
You know this happens all the time. Elon Musk didn't pay any taxes.
Yeah, Elon Musk didn't pay either. Michael Bloomberg skipped it.
Somebody explained this to me a long time ago. The tax code is made for people who do business. If you have a big company that makes a ton of money and a good tax attorney, you're not paying squat. So this doesn't surprise Mace. Does this surprise you? It doesn't surprise me at all.
It surprises me. It surprises me that Jeff Bezos Jeff Bezos got a refund.
Right.
He actually filed for the refund for the tax income credit. That's what's crazy, for the child income credit.
He's the world's richest man, or one of them, and he got a refund. A lot of us don't get refunds. It's not. There's obviously something completely wrong here with the federal income tax for people in the billionaire range. Billionaires should have to pay taxes. Billionaires have more than all of us. I mean, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Michael Bloomberg, George Soros, Carl Icahn, even Warren Buffett. These guys should all be paying taxes. We're paying them. Why aren't they?
Because they have really good smart tax attorneys who find the loopholes and exploit them.
Yeah, those loopholes need to be closed post haste. Find them and close them, because those guys, or do this thing, this billionaire tax that they've been talking about. Do a billionaire tax. I mean, they've got the dough. Soak them a little.
All I know is that it makes me very, very sad and depressed to know that little old me and my little old income, you know, day-to-day struggles. And
yeah,
then,
they'll get you.
And I owe money. And if I don't pay that, you know, they're going to come after me and garnish my wages and this and that. But yet the richest man on the entire planet got money back. That's so disheartening to me. It's just so messed up. It's crazy.
Yeah, they got to do something. When all that information got leaked, because that was not public, it got leaked to some sort of hacker group wanted everybody to see this, that these guys didn't pay taxes.
Well, good thing they did.
Yeah, and it's good to know. It's good to know. By the way, the companies themselves sometimes don't pay. Exxon pays no income tax somehow. Amazon paid no income tax. How do the companies and the owners not pay income tax? It's staggering to me that our tax code is that ham-handed that people who make that much money don't pay any price for all the benefits they get from living in this country.
Well, Mason, you know what I think this means?
What?
I think you should be running for president.
Oh, yeah? Did I just give a good speech?
Yeah, that was a great speech.
Yeah,
I agree
there you
with
go.
You completely.
John, do you agree with me or not?
I think it's a hard thing to administrate because smart companies hire really smart tax attorneys, and that's how they get around it.
Billionaire tax.
Yeah, I would have no problem taxing these companies who find these loopholes. Just make the rules the same for everybody.
All right, Linz.
All right, so last one here, guys. Netflix, obviously, they've been selling their subscription products direct to consumer since it was founded more than 20 years ago. But now the streaming giant has launched Netflix.shop, which is the company's first owned and operated retail outlet to sell products directly.
Wow.
Netflix.shop will sell exclusive limited editions of carefully selected high-quality apparel and lifestyle products tied to their shows and brand. Are there any Netflix shows or characters that you guys would buy merch of? Swipe left or swipe right?
Ted Lasso is not a Netflix show, right?
That's an Apple show, yeah.
All right, Netflix show.
Trying to think. You got Stranger Things.
No, Stranger Things. What about, I like some of what Joe Exotic wore.
Oh, please.
I like some of that Joe Exotic stuff that he was
wearing.
Tiger
King would blow up. Tiger King t-shirts. I feel like I've seen those anyway.
It absolutely would blow up. There's the crown. You could dress as like one of them fancy, rich British people. But no, I can't think of anything that I would literally buy off of TV, which is essentially what they're trying to do, right?
Yeah, they're just trying to monetize their shows.
Yeah, no, there's nothing I would necessarily buy. I have a feeling like a lot of women would notice, you know, small designer stuff that women pay attention to, and maybe that buy that. But I don't think I have any use for this.
I feel like it's more trinkets, like coffee mugs and Funko Pops. And
oh, that's interesting, yeah.
Stuff like that. That's like, you know, got the show's logos and characters and things like that on it. That's probably what they're doing.
That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. Yeah, I can see that. Like when you go to New York and you go to Rockefeller Center, they got the NBC store and they got merchandise from all of their shows. I guess that's what Netflix is trying to do, create merchandise from all their shows. I'll tell you what, you know what would be a good show to do merchandise for? This is HBO and not Netflix. But who doesn't want to wear the Mayor of Easttown ensemble? She dresses.
I would wear like an Easttown hoodie for sure.
Would you wear an Easttown hoodie?
Yeah.
John, have you watched Mayor of Easttown?
No, but I know how popular it is.
Okay, it's incredibly popular. It's a really good story, but it's also, Lindsay, I don't know if I can remember watching a more depressing show than Mayor of Easttown.
Yeah, it is pretty dark, but
it is so,
so dark.
Yeah, it's so dark, and they live such rough lives. And the crazy thing about this, John, is she plays a cop, and she knows every single person in this town. So when something bad happens, she knows exactly who it was, knows who to talk to, knows all. It's a fascinating show. I strongly recommend it. The one thing I love about it is she does a Pennsylvania accent, Kate Winslet does. So it's like, how are you guys doing? It's like that sort of
accent. That's a very poor imitation of that.
How you guys doing? What's up with you? Yin's gone down the mall. She's doing that sort of accent.
Yoy. And double yoy.
Yeah, strongly recommend Mayor of Easttown, but just be prepared to be depressed. She's a very depressed human being, the mayor.
If Mayor of Easttown is too depressing for you, then you could just watch Hacks afterwards, because that's a fantastic show.
Yeah, Hacks is on my list. That's the one we're going to watch right after Mayor of Easttown. John, have you heard about Hacks?
No.
It's on HBO. Gene Smart is the star, who's fantastic. And she's playing a Joan Rivers-type comedian. And they stick her with a writer because her act is getting old. And it's about the relationship between this writer, who's played by...
She's like a young, hip millennial.
Yeah, she's young and hip, and this Joan Rivers type character is not. So she's got to try to get her act in order. And
she does like a Vegas residency. It's at the back end of her career, and they're trying to basically revive her while she's doing her shows in Vegas.
Yeah, and Hannah Einbinder plays the daughter, John, or plays the writer, and she happens to be the daughter of Lorraine Newman.
No kidding.
So Lorraine Newman's daughter is one of the stars of Hacks. Yeah, it's a good show. It's got a good show business kind of thing going on, so definitely check that out. All right, coming up next for you. Thank you, Lindsay. Coming up next for you. What is your most irrational fear?
Wait, yeah. You forgot to make sure that you follow me on Instagram at Lindsay Baseball. Mm-hmm. I'm getting close to Mace on followers, so.
How many?
I've got about almost closing in on 700. 7,000.
So you've got almost half of mine.
Yep.
Over half, actually.
Over half of you.
Yeah, you'll beat me. You're putting up sexy shots. All right, coming up next for you, what is your most irrational fear? That is coming up. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.